Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the Monday edition. I just got something in my inbox. Thought I'd share it with you, our fair audience. Senator Ron Johnson to hold a panel discussion, COVID-19, a second opinion. What could possibly go wrong?
This is the research he did in his lab that he has, right? The lab that he did all the research in? Or there's a paper that he's referencing by a really well-respected, well-published, no? None of that? He's just talking?
Let me just read from the press release and media advisory. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson will hold a panel discussion, COVID-19, a second opinion. A group of world-renowned doctors and medical experts who you've never heard of will provide a different perspective on the global pandemic response, the current state of knowledge of early and hospital treatment. I guess that's an and. Vaccine efficacy and safety. What went right and what went wrong? What should be done now and what needs to be addressed long term? I would say the defeat of Ron Johnson electorally might help us move beyond the pandemic, because this man seemingly continues to go out there and spew misinformation. Ron, used to call you a friend of the show. Now I don't call you at all. Let's keep our attention here in the great state of Wisconsin. Got a fine guest coming soon. Earl Ingram, our good friend, hosting and moderating a Milwaukee mayoral event later this evening. So Earl's going to talk a little MLK in the Milwaukee mayoral field, special election going on. And of course, we've got elections. It is the midterm year. And Ron Johnson, we've talked about on this show before. Ron Johnson, back in 2017, he was the lone Republican no for the Trump tax cut plan. And he eventually became a yes, but not until he negotiated a sweet carve out for designated S corporations. Small businesses, primarily small businesses, that are like LLCs. They designate themselves as an S, and any of the gross, or more accurately, net profit. If you make profit, you pay it on your personal taxes. I know this pretty well because I was a designated S corporation. In fact, I was at the time when Ron came down to our Milwaukee studios bragging about the tax cut he got for me and for himself.
I remember I was a couple feet away from that exact conversation. I'm like, all right, that benefits us.
Well, and I mentioned to Ron, well, self-enrichment, that's going to be the criticism of you, sir. You also own a designated S corporation. Did you do it for your own benefit? Oh, no, Mike. That was the answer at the time. I know, because I listened the other night. But what I did not know at that time is that he had a couple of benefactors. Let's call them benefactors. The widow Hendricks, who owns ABC Supply Corporation, and Liz and Dick Uline. And these particular couples are mega donors to the Republican cause. And apparently, depending on whose reporting you believe, in the 2018 tax filing season, the specific part of the Trump tax cut that Ron Johnson inserted for designated S said, I did it for you and me, Crudy. And the Ulines and the widow Hendricks. And depending on who's reporting it, believe in that single year they garnered a tax benefit, those two families collectively between $80 million and $218 million. Depending on who's reporting you believe. That's a pretty big spread. But $80 million savings, even let's assume the lowest possible outcome. $80 million savings in one tax year because of a carve-out. And then those two couples, well, a couple and a, you know, the widow Hendricks has been widowed. Her husband, I believe, fell off the roof of the house. Should have called one of the guys. But anyways, you know, I try not to get on the roof so much anymore myself. But they gave Ron Johnson back a $21 million donation. That's a pretty grand return on investment. That's, you know, 4-to-1 to 10-to-1, depending on, you know, whether you believe the $80 million benefit or the $220 million benefit figure. But those two families did really, really well on this tax cut. And those billionaire families, especially the Ulines, they've been spreading the goodwill continuously. They continue to spread the goodwill. Do you know they spent over $10 million on Kevin Nicholson's campaign in, what was it, 2018? $10 million propping up the second place finisher in the Republican primary.
Wow.
And the one that won the Republican primary, and she did so with the benefit of right-wing talk radio propping her up in Milwaukee, Nurse Ratched, I used to call her, Leah Vukmir, she won the primary and then promptly got crushed by Tammy Baldwin. And Tammy Baldwin carried like 100,000 Scott Walker voters that also voted for Tammy Baldwin. She beat Leah Vukmir on the same ticket with Scott Walker by, I mean, she crushed. She
destroyed
Leah Vukmir. Yeah. 11%, I believe, the margin of victory. Well, the flip side of that is the governor of the state of Wisconsin, Tony Evers. Tony Evers only won by like 31,000 votes. Relatively close race, despite the fact that Tammy Baldwin was killing it at the top of the ticket. But back to the Ulines. And they're spreading it around. The Kevin Nicholson, mentioned him. As Delafield's Kevin Nicholson gears up for a run for governor, one of his top supporters is also spending money to send former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish to the state's capital East Wing. Liz Uline, co-founder of the Pleasant Prairie-based shipping supply giant Uline, donated $200,000 in October to a Republican super PAC working to elect Clayfish, according to the campaign fundraising report filed Monday. The donation to Freedom Wisconsin PAC came after Uline donated $20,000 to Clayfish's campaign in September, the maximum individual contribution allowed under state law. And then she gave 10 times that much to a super PAC, right? Uline and her husband Richard, who live in the northern Chicago suburb of Lake Forest, are two of the top GOP donors in the nation and have individually donated nearly $150 million to elect Republicans since the 1990s, and much of that money has been spent since 2012, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. A little bit more here. In 2018, the Uline spent $10.7 million in support of Kevin Nicholson. Now, Nicholson's own parents maxed out the Tammy Baldwin, right? And Nicholson didn't even win the GOP primary. $10.7 million. So now, what, are they hedging their bets? So Nicholson's going to jump in the race because he, of course, was following Rojo's lead. And if Rojo's going to run for re-election, apparently Nicholson's going to run to be the governor. Except Liz, the wife's already funding, is already funding Rebecca Clayfish's campaign. So that's a little awkward. Little awkward.
The thing is, though, whatever horse they back, they're really just buying loyalty anyway. Whoever wins is going to want to go and get that sweet money for themselves. So they'll do whatever the heck they want so they can get that sweet money sent them their way.
That's why you got to grease all the palms. Got to give them all money. Apparently, it's just a shrewd investment. You got to buy all the politicians. Governor Tony Evers here in the great state of Wisconsin, his newest campaign pitch, vote for me because democracy is at risk. Quick thoughts before my pal Earl Ingram, Tony Evers' re-election pitch, democracy is at risk. A little bit from this article, the Associated Press. Democratic Governor Tony Evers is known for his folksy demeanor, sprinkling his speeches with some by gollies and occasional PG-rated swear word. They're not all PG, Tony. To win re-election, the 70-year-old grandfather and former teacher is trying to convince voters that he's also a valiant defender of democracy and the lone figure ensuring that voters will still matter in 2024 and beyond. Here's a quote from Evers. "We're that close to not having our vote count in the state of Wisconsin." Evers warned about 50 Democrats who braved the cold to go see a party headquarters opening in Janesville. In heavily gerrymandered Wisconsin, Evers is the only resistance to state Republicans eager to reshape elections to aid their party. He already has vetoed a half a dozen bills that would make it more difficult to vote, with the GOP promising more efforts to overhaul elections this spring. They're destined to for defeat as long as Evers is in place, but any Republican who beats him would have plenty of time to shift the playing field before 2024 in one of the few battleground states that typically decides the presidential race. So do you understand all that? Republicans keep trying to change the electoral laws. They did that plenty of times when Scott Walker was the happy signer on the bills. And Tony Evers keeps rejecting these bills. But if a Republican wins, be it Kevin Nicholson or far more likely Rebecca Clayfish, if they beat Evers, there is no veto. There will be more voter suppression going on here. And oh yeah, then 2024 is right around the corner. However, Republicans say in Wisconsin, Republicans have dismissed the democracy at risk argument. "That's not a kitchen table issue," said Andrew Hitt, a GOP strategist and former state party director. Now, I would point out Andrew Hitt was one of the false electors, one of the fraudulent electors. We see lots of news about this. I hope he's being considered for charges with the Department of Justice. That's not an issue that people wake up every day and are like, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to send my kids to school? Pardon me, how am I going to get health care? That's where I think their focus needs to be. Not on my criminal activities. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Evers' chief nemesis, according to this article, had this to say. "What Governor Evers is doing is trying to make take an electorate, especially his base, who look at him as weak and feckless and try to show that he matters." Well, that's harsh criticism, but it does matter. It matters a hell of a lot. Tony Evers is the goalie. He is the last bastion. And I don't have to love Tony Evers. He doesn't have to be a strong politician. But without him, we are all screwed here in the state of Wisconsin. So run, Tony, run, and run fast, my friend. Come back. Earl Ingram Jr., a fine guest, joins me next.
I don't feel like my time here has been particularly successful.
We're not just doing this for money. We're doing it for a load of money.
I don't know, but I'm suspicious.